Jamie Rissman is an author, a yogi, and has a beautiful message about remaining powerful while you're pregnant. In today's episode, we're going to talk about her journey to yoga, some of the different asana practices she's found from Bikram to Vinyasa, and also the competition yoga. Touch a little bit on Ghosh yoga, which is an 84 pose, pretty intense yoga practice. But really ending up with her passion right now, which is embodiment practices to young teens and teaching them yoga through embodiment, which I feel is a huge, huge benefit right now and a huge need for a lot of our young ones. It's a beautiful conversation. I'll get something out of it. We'll see you on the other side. But first, a message from our sponsor. Our healing journey can be difficult and might feel lonely at times. That's why I love sound baths. When we can get together in a community, we intrinsically support and feel supported by others. And that combined energy can help us go deeper into our own healing journeys. And all you have to do is just lay there for 1 hour and listen to beautiful healing sounds. I'm a sound healing practitioner, and I hold sound baths on a regular basis in the greater Seattle area. You can find my next sound baths on my website at adamrealhealing.com. That's Adam, A-D-A-M, real, R-I-E-H-L, healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G.com. AdamRealHealing.com. Your healing is worth your time. And now an uninterrupted podcast with Jamie Rissman. All right, welcome back. Today I'm talking with Jamie Rissman. Jamie was introduced to me actually through a friend, one of my good friends. This is her cousin. And when Andre was telling me about this young lady, I'm like, Jesus Christ, why do I not know this person? She sounds like just like she could be my best friend. She does yoga. She loves to write. She is on podcasts. I'm like, oh my God, we're like kismet. You know, we're kindred spirits here. So Jamie Rissman is heavy into yoga. Love the different type of asana practices that you encompass. But also one of the things that I love, and every time I meet somebody in competition yoga, I'm like, I just got to pick your brain. That's just such an interesting concept for me. So Jamie's spent a bit of her time in competition yoga, has authored a beautiful book called Beautiful Pregnancy, and has been on a few podcasts with the beautiful message of pregnant, not powerless. And that is goddamn a beautiful, beautiful message and a beautiful dharma to set yourself behind. So Jamie, thank you so much for taking time and spending some time with me today. I'm really, really excited to talk with you.
Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. That was lovely. Yeah. Nice to hear it all about myself and say that, yes, I did that. I did that too.
It's like, oh, that's right. I did do that thing. I forgot about that. Yeah. Well, so just jump right in. Like, how did yoga get into your state of being? Because you're in Chicago now, but you were from Louisiana, correct?
That's right. Yeah. So born in New Orleans and did a ton of gymnastics. After gymnastics was wrapping up my junior senior year of high school, I knew that the left knee was like on its last leg. Mm-hmm. So I knew that my last floor competition crawling off after I saluted the judges to get my score was going to be it. And that was it. And so I quit gymnastics and needed something else to fill it. And so after several years, I started doing running, some triathlons and biking and running. And I loved it. I loved it. And on the way to one of my races, I got into a minor fender bender car accident, but it was just the icing on the cake that put the knee into a shattered position where I had to go get surgery. Then after the surgery was over, which should have been a simple one, I did a simple cartwheel, which I could do in my sleep and blindfolded and maybe even with one hand behind. It's just something I thought I could do. Second nature, and I blew out my quadricep tendon. So I had a whole nother surgery plus a cast. And in New Orleans summer, it's so hot and humid. And the cast went from my hip all the way to my left, to my ankle. And I couldn't bend it or put any weight on it. And there was some kind of fleece hot stuff in there that I had to like poke down there and scratch it when you needed to and let it breathe. And it was terrible. Anyway, so I rehabilitated as much as I could the left leg after both surgeries, and then Hurricane Katrina came and everything was kind of wiped out. Yeah. And I said, all right, it's been 12 days. We've done absolutely the same thing over and over, which was mostly praying and just trying to dry stuff out. And I was like, this is it. I can't anymore. So I decided that I was going to move, and it was either going to be California or Chicago, which I know is totally crazy because it's completely different climates. And just anyway, So I chose Chicago. And as soon as I got there, a friend at the time, now husband, was like, you should come and check out this sweaty ass hot yoga class. And so I went and checked it out. And 10 years prior, I had done it once, but I didn't know. And I wasn't in any mind frame to do yoga because I wasn't taking care of my body then or my mind. And so 10 years fast forward, I go to this class and it was like, I knew right away, just like most yogis know, that there is for sure that gateway of physical relief or minor Band-Aid for a moment where you think you can get a little bit more Band-Aid treatment, but behind all the seams and behind all the fine lines was the mental, aspect, because I had just come out of a disaster, left my family, started over, got a new job. I did it all again. And so, you know, just having to like rename yourself and brand yourself and do it all again. And then, it's a whole different life experience, you know? Yeah. So anyways, I found this yoga class and the teacher at the time, the owner, he said, you're going to be a teacher. I just know it. And I said, no, not me. That would never be me. I'm just not cut out for it. Uh-huh. And then within 3 months, I was putting down my tuition for Bikram yoga teacher training in Acapulco, Mexico, which was 9 weeks. So, I told my corporate job, I got to go, I got something to do, I got to leave. And I may be back. And so I went to my teacher training, came back, started teaching right away, told the corporate job, this isn't working out. I don't like this gig. And so we, disconnected and I just started teaching full-time yoga. And then after yoga started more and more certificates because teacher training is so cool. It's just a nerdy, geeky thing to do. And it's fun. Yeah.
I know. I love nerding out on teacher training. I have so many people tell me after they get out of a 200 hour, they're like, I loved my teacher training, have no complaints, but I don't feel prepared to go into a class and teach. And I'm like, that's totally normal. Think about your, your 200 hour is like your associates, right? It's like your prereqs, right? You get all that shit out of the way that you got to learn in whatever capacity. Some people are more asana focused. Some people are more philosophy focused, but you'll get, you know, good balance of something. But from there, that 500 hour is you to build your own personal journey. Certainly. Like, do you want to be philosophy heavy, anatomy heavy, asana heavy, meditation heavy? Like, where do you want to go with this? Because
where do you want to start? Because it shifts too, like, you know, and it moves in evolution. Uh-huh.
I can say, like, when I first started teaching, you know, I think a lot of us are really drawn to the movement base, right? The very asana base, so power vinyasa of some sort. But in my older years, I've moved more from the creative asana practice more towards the meditative practices.
Sure.
And yes, I still love teaching a good creative flow class. I love teaching a hatha, what we call hatha, which would be the shortened Bikram style class. Yeah, love all the major styles, but give me a peaceful, let's get into our bodies, let's get into our heads, into a meditative practice. And I just, love those now.
Yeah.
And it just say, I love
Geek
it.
Out on that.
And it'll probably shift again when I'm at 60, you know, when I'm 60, it's going to be like, hey, get back there you go. Get back into that. I love how your camera follows you.
Oh, I'll tell you about my robot.
You're bad. I love those things. It was the best.
He's my geeky nerd. And anytime there's any new technologies, like, you should try it.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, my people are good. I'm good. Everybody likes it. No, you should try it. And then he gets it. And then they're like, whoa, what is that?
Right.
Go over there. Let me see your room. And I'm like, no, we're working out. You don't need to see my room right now. You know, like that. It's pretty funny. But it's a conversation builder, a community builder, and people want to know about the robot. And so we engage more. And our rapport is builder is bigger and stronger than ever, you know?
Exactly.
All because of this little robot.
I know.
And the virtual world, you know? Oh my goodness.
So with with your asanas, you know, so you started off with Bikram, right?
Yes.
And so that's
and
the...
And that was really my first.
Yeah,
my
that's
first
the
for a long time.
90 minute, 26 and 2, that very structured practice. Yeah.
How long
did
you
How long did you kind of stick with that that style, that modality?
Okay, so for 2008 all the way probably until maybe 2018, I did simply Bikram and also had babies. So I got pregnant with twins with multiples in 2009.
Yeah.
And so just a year basically of teaching, well, that's a whole nother conversation. So I was practicing advanced yoga. So I took Bikram yoga, the 90 minutes. And then in addition to that, I also chose on a Wednesday and a Sunday to add an additional advanced practice, which is more or less legs behind the head or back bends, or just like when my body was available and I didn't know really any better other than it felt like pretzels and a little bit gymnastics like, and I could access my past with flexibility. And although I was rebuilding blocks, because in gymnastics, it's very different than in yoga. In gymnastics split, it's very much one hip behind the other. And in a yoga split, it's very much lateral, you know, side to side. And so it was like undoing what my brain wanted to automatically go to, automatic pilot as a gymnast in training so many hours every day of the week, to undoing that and not, and like taking the junk out of one ear and opening up the other ear and letting the other yoga stuff, the new information come in.
So
pregnant with twins and had my babies practicing Bikram the whole time, re-entered the 26 and 2 90 minute after my twins were born, wrote the book, Beautiful Pregnancy, right during the second and third trimester of my multiples. And then somewhere around 2012, got pregnant again. So started the pregnancy sequence again. And then after that baby was born, we moved from DC location to back to Chicago area, which is where I moved right after Katrina. And then within like a year or two after, like a year and a half, I relocated to DC. And DC is when I said, all right, I'm going to sign up for this Acapulco teacher training. I'm going to go for it. All I have is boyfriend, no offense, and a dog. So no kids, no husband, no job, like going to need to like really, really worry about. And so I went for it. And that, you know, as a teacher, you can maybe understand the financial commitment for sure. But the like, is this for me? Am I sure? Do I want to make this investment? Yes, I can do it and never teach, but I want to teach. Okay. I mean, I must have gone back and forth a bajillion times thinking, do I want to go? Is it necessary? Can I do it here? Do I need to go that long? You know, all these things cross your mind. And within like 4 or 5 days, I was like, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love all of it. I don't love the man, but I love the training.
You know, and I think that's a great point. You know, a lot of, and I never had any direct experience with Bikram himself, know the practice very well and know some people that have had, that have gone to his trainings and, have been affected by him personally, unfortunately. But you know, in the conversation always comes up is like, you know, can we still find benefit from the training that was done? And my answer is, of course, yes, most definitely. There is so many good things that come from really unpure places, but that doesn't mean that you can't find something very beautiful from the training that you got, right? Granted, yes, some people were very, very hurt by this person and by the mentality that he holds, but even a lot of those people that I've talked to that were personally physically, you know, hurt by this gentleman can still find benefit in the understanding of the practice of yoga that was taught to them and the experiences around that. So, you know, and I really, I really hope that, that's one of those things that we as a human have to not have to, but that's our choice to find that truth for ourselves. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be somebody else's truth, and your truth can just make sense to you, and that's fine.
That's right.
And so, I really want to make sure that, you know, that message gets out there. Like, I'm not dogging the style of yoga. The gentleman that taught it might be questionable. I don't know the hard facts, just what I've heard and what I've read. But the practice itself, I love the Bikram style practice, the 90 or the 60 minute. I love the functionality of it. I love the ritualness of it. I love teaching it because I don't have to think as much. I don't have to, like, you know, draw on all these interesting transitions I want to do and all this you know, interesting cueing and all this stuff. It's like, nope. Okay. Here you go. Here's your three sets of chair.
Simple.
Here's your half moon series. Here's your day. Like, it's all right there for you. Just going to dictate it. And then we're going to move on.
Yeah. There's something in simplicity.
Definitely.
You know, keep it simple. I love it. Keep it simple.
So you mentioned a more advanced practice. Was that the Ghosh practice that you moved towards?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. So there's 84 asanas, the Ghosh lineage, and it's Bishnu Ghosh is where we extracted the 26 postures and two breathing exercises for the Bikram sequence from the Ghosh lineage.
Yeah.
And so 84 of the postures would be practiced plus Kapalbhati and Pranayama, but they were just a little different. And then there was some flowing that you didn't step back together and. Yeah, so that you weren't there for 3 hours. You were just there for 2 hours.
Right. It's a hell of a commitment. And it's a hell of a practice. Yeah. I've only done the Ghosh practice twice. They offer it at a couple studios in our area just on weekends. It's more of a special kind of class. And rightfully so. Like, it takes a special human being to be able to do some of those poses. Or just to be able to open yourself up to the opportunity to do the poses.
Yeah. Even if you sat there, took up space, and sweat your... you know what, everything off and out, you could still gain by watching, observing. I mean, I think, and I still teach my kids this, you have to submerge yourself with people that are a little bit better at the sport than you, or the game at you, and then you, then that way you can see and watch and soak it up. And then you be that person and you teach the next person. And when you can teach it, you know your shit, right?
Love
so,
that.
Yeah.
I remember the very first time, one of my first yoga classes. So when I first started taking yoga, I went to it for the physical benefits. I was out of shape, you know, couldn't even see my toes, let alone know that I had toes there. But I remember one of the very first vinyasa classes that I took. We were going through sun A's, jump forward, halfway lift, fold, you know, and then we were about to jump back to a chaturanga. We're going through a halfway lift, and I just happened to look down the line. And I saw this gentleman who now I know his name's David, but at the time I didn't know him. I saw him press into a handstand from his halfway lift. And I'm like, what the F is this? Like, is this is the yoga? This is yoga. This is acrobats yoga. This is the same thing. I'm like, holy shit. Okay. Sign me up. And it's just like you just said, like, you don't know what you can do until you see somebody else do it. And it's like, okay, I'm not jealous of the fact you could do that. I'm amazed that this is part of the practice that we could maybe find. It's like, holy shit. Like, this just opened up a whole.
You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
Exactly.
And now I'm a 42-year-old man.
Your box is here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And now I'm a 42-year-old man doing handstands and splits and shit like that I couldn't even do when I was a teenager. You know? And it's like, man,
it's so empowering.
Love this. It's so beautiful to watch adults be children again in the most beautiful ways and embrace that childlike revere and that knowledge of, like, I just did a cartwheel. Oh my God, I just did a cartwheel. Yep. Watching humans awkwardly do cartwheels is one of my favorite pastimes now. Like, whenever I do handstand inversion classes and we have to teach people how to fall, you know, cartwheeling is one of the best ways to fall out of a handstand. Uh-huh. Having adults cartwheel across the room who haven't cartwheeled in years is secretly one of my favorite things to watch.
It is. It is. I know. Because they giggle like a child.
It really, totally.
Let loose like a child. And it's like, man, we wear so many restraints and hats and all these different patterns that we, you know, absorb through our life. And who the hell put those on us? And why can't we peel them off again? Right.
Yep.
And just be fun. And my kids will often say, Mom, if I post this, we might get like 78 likes because you did a flip on the trampoline. And I think that's the key to shit, you know? I'm like, I'm a cool mom. I can do a flip on the trampoline. I just want to be closer to my kids.
Exactly.
So whatever it takes.
Exactly.
Know? So cute.
Oh my God. So where did competition yoga kind of sneak in? I mean, you seem like a competitive person in general. Was that just like a natural progression of your personality?
So let's see. It was, and you know, it's funny. I do. It is my personality. I jump in probably a little too soon because I'm intrigued. And then I'm like, I can do this. I'm very much like pause, like a quarterback would rewind film and rewatch the pass and rewatch the footwork and rewatch the hand pass, whatever. I mean, I watch stuff and I study it. So I thought, okay, I've watched so many people do their routines. I think I can do this. And so I signed up, having just come back from teacher training. And I remember a lot of my senior teachers were like, well, that wasn't great, but we love you for trying and just getting out there and having to do it because we've never even competed. And I was like, what? You haven't? Why did I do it? And they're like, no, you should do it. You know? And I'm like, oh man, it looks so cool. You know? So intrigued was probably the first thing that caught my eye. because of the caliber of student that I watched. So some like yogis that have been doing this yoga maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 more years longer than I have, and watching them practice and putting in the time and watching their bodies change, I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. I'm doing it. You know, it wasn't just like street fun. It was like, they are investing lots of hard work, and I like the message they're putting out. So I'm gonna go for it. So I started and I sucked really bad for a long time. And then I figured it out. This is a numbers game. I don't know why it took me so damn long, but it holds weight according to per posture, which I knew, but according to different elements. Okay, so you have to have flexibility, balance, and strength required in all of the 3 minutes. And if you duplicated your flexibility because you're really flexible, but you're not strong, you get deducted. So you have to show all three in your 3 minute routine. And you can pick what you want of many, many postures, but you must show a forward compression of the spine, a backward compression of the spine, a twist of the spine, an elongation of the spine. And then they added, then you had to pick two optionals. And that's what it was when I competed. Okay.
And that's all within 3 minutes.
Yes. Wow. So some of the postures that you love could be leg behind the head, but there's certain guidelines on how you need to get the leg behind the head. Okay. There's extra flare points if you could kick the leg up behind your head versus sitting down, which takes 21 seconds to put the leg behind the head, not touch the floor, and stand up, and then to dismount it, right? So you have to accumulate the time. You have to extract the time that it takes to hold it.
Yeah.
If you fall, you get zero. If you hold it for 5 seconds, you get all your points. If you hold it for half, you get half your points.
Okay.
If you touch the floor, it's a scratch, right? So it's very much like a gymnastics meet, but it's numbers in addition to all your stuff. So yes, you can show all your strengths, but you got to show your not strengths too, which I liked, right? So you can just always flare out your good things, your strong things. You had to show your not weaknesses, but your not so strong things.
Right.
And bring them to the surface instead of keep them under the mat, right? And that's what shifts us as a yogi. Yeah. So I think things that I thought were so intriguing and awesome looking at, where I was like, throw that paper out. That's not going to fit my body. Let me look at this one. That's a maybe, you know? And so as an adult, I was like, a maybe list, a no list, get that out of here. Never happened in my lifetime list. And then yes, you know, and then putting it in a routine. So you're like your own choreographer, your own coach, your own timer. And then you have to groom yourself.
Wow, the whole
deal.
So
you have to be in a certain outfit. You know, you can't have certain things. They don't want it to be flashy.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very modest.
Wow.
And And like any other sport, it has rules, you know? And so you had to put that together for 3 minutes. Yeah. So I just kept trying and trying and trying, and I loved it. And each year I just kind of bumped up on the board. And then my last year that I was really affiliated with the USA Yoga division or business or nonprofit, I should say, is speaking. I was able to come and speak to everyone that was a yogi considering maybe one day becoming a mom, and if they should consider yoga while pregnant, post-pregnancy. And it was a beautiful thing. I had way more men than I thought that were going to listen. Women that were pregnant listened. Women that were really young, really young listened, which I thought was surprising. And then yogis that I guess I pioneered the way. I got pregnant right away. I taught yoga right after teacher training right away. I got pregnant again, and it was with multiple. So I kind of just kept going with the message.
Yeah.
Practice the yoga. When you get pregnant, do not take the yoga out if you love it, because your body will change and everything will look different in the mirror to you when pregnant. Mm-hmm. But if you take out your yoga, you also will not be happy because you have all this that's changed and that one thing you love that you took out yourself.
Right.
So keep it in.
Wow.
Let this change and embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
But keep the thing that you love and make room for baby. Don't change your life for baby.
Yeah.
And I've always preached that message.
That's
make room for the baby. And so some yogis are like, I have doctor's orders, no yoga in the beginning. I'm like, absolutely. Listen to body. Yes, yes, yes. If you have any hair of doubt, then stop. But when you feel right and you're able to, don't expect your body to enter where you left off.
Right. Yes.
You know, don't expect for you to like kick that triangle right away. Like start slow, start with like down dog and super easy and give yourself lots of space and time to get there.
Yep.
But if you feel 150% because you've been practicing this yoga for years, like I had, then stand on your both feet firmly, have conversations with your doctor, bring them in, record it, give them the knowledge, the information that's not in their textbooks, find a doctor that is, and then stay in communication. Check your temperature. You don't have to take out a thermometer. You know your body as a yogi. And when you're pregnant, everything's very, you know, hyper. Right. So you just step out a little sooner, come out of balancing stick. Don't do triangle. Don't do twist. You know, you just omit things. But as a pregnant person, as a yogi who used to do all out things, you have to swallow this huge pill of, I have a human inside me anymore. Right. This is not just my practice.
Right.
I'm sharing my practice.
Oh, that's
I'm
beautiful.
Sharing my practice because you can't, and it's not, I can't, I choose for you not to do this posture anymore because it's compression and it's a twist. I choose to come back to this posture and you can't wait to back bend, whatever, you know, but it's evolutional and you come back to it like a roller coaster and you know that one day you may back bend more because you wanted it more during your 10 months of pregnancy, you know?
And a lot of us with yoga, you know, I'll use myself as an example. I'm so damn hardcore with yoga at times. Like I don't take time off even though I need to. So when I'm forced to take time off, let's take the pandemic, first couple of weeks, we couldn't really practice because we were still figuring all this shit out. Yeah. I was lamenting my practice like, oh my God, I can't practice. And then like, you know, a couple of weeks went by and as teachers, were able to go into our respective studios to Zoom a class. And that was one of the first times I was able to get back into a room. I was by myself. I turned the heat on. Nobody should know about that. And and I got into some inversions, got into some back bends, and it was deeper and stronger than I ever had because one, I gave myself the time to finally recover from some of the injuries I had. But to your point too, is like I had such a desire to be upside down and to look at the back of my ankles and like I want to do this so bad that when I finally got to it, it's like, there's your practice just waiting there beautifully for you. Coming
euphoria
back to it.
Right there.
Most You're definitely.
Like, this is exactly what I thought of in my mind.
Exactly.
This is how cool it was going to be. So, I know that feeling.
I'm glad you brought up pregnancy yoga. There's three, if you don't mind me asking just your opinion on these three things, there's generally three questions I get asked a lot from people that just found out they're pregnant or have just gotten back from a doctor's appointment saying, this is what my doctor said. And you touched on a couple of them. So the first one is no more practicing in a hot room. And so I'll give you the feedback I've gotten, and then I'll give you the answers I've gotten from both sides. So when a student comes to me and says, my doctor told me not to practice in a hot room anymore. Obviously my first question to anybody or my first statement to anybody is, are you listening to your body? Listening to what your body says. If your body says, hell no, Adam, we're not going to do this, then listen to your body. Your body is very, very smart. But for the blanket, like nobody should ever do, right? My doctor told me to stop doing yoga, hot yoga. So the feedback I've gotten from both doctors and people that have been in yoga for a while are, if you've never done yoga, hot yoga before, or you're away from your practice for a while, when you find out you're pregnant, it's not the right time to start back into a hot ass class, right?
I agree.
Right. Cause if your body's used to that heat, then what's growing inside you will become used to that heat as well. But if you just introduced a, 120 degree room to a 97.6 degree body, shit's going to go sideways.
Yeah. Right? You're already feeling weird all as it is.
Right.
Super like out of body ish. So
Definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that one. Yeah.
Right. But yoga in general, like if you want to start a generalized yoga class, it doesn't, not a hot class, please. Yes. Move your body. I was told to stay away from twists in the first trimester because that's, the baby's anchoring. And so deep twists could, damage that anchoring of some sort, which I'm like 100%, separate the
twists.
Knees. Exactly. Yep. Hand on the outside of the knee. You don't go to knee elbow. You can do as gentle as you want
to. Exactly. Yep. And yep, then, no twisting and no forward compression.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we have, anytime we're on our bellies, you're on hands and knees. Yeah, you're in a, like a quadruped or a, something like that, you know.
Yeah, and oh gosh, this one girl, Frankie, that has a studio in Florida.
Okay.
She practiced with me, and I know she was one that competed, and I know when she practiced on full locus on her arms,
uh-huh,
she knew exactly where her baby was, and she was able to anchor away from it and like wedge, wow, a space off of the floor with her forearm.
Uh-huh.
And so she didn't, because in her mind, she goes all the way up,
uh-huh,
to scorpion. So she knew for a moment when her toes were tucked in locus, for a split moment until her legs came up and held in full, you know, that so she wanted her back.
Wow.
Her back to bend, and she wanted to get the legs up. And so for me, I told, at one point I had a yoga class of 9 pregnant women, which was like, everyone drank the water clearly at the same time.
Wow.
I was one of them. And the 8 others that followed my lead were like, if you've done it with multiples, I'm going to follow your lead. I'm going to, mm-hmm, do it. So I led them, and everyone was so different, but everyone was able to speak and communicate things that maybe weren't able to be said the same way amongst spouse or partner or supporter or whomever. And then hear it and maybe say, gosh, I've been feeling that same way. Thank you for saying that. And then next time share something and the next person. And it was such a open environment of healing that I was like, this is my calling.
Wow.
This is what I love. You know, it's my yoga that I believe in. I believe in continuing your yoga as pregnant women. You're not powerless. You are a machine building a human. So continue with it, you know? Oh
yeah.
My God, it was the coolest thing.
God,
never, ever did I expect to ever put that in my, resume or whatever to have that experience,
yeah,
from that many women, right? It's just like kind of,
wow,
like a one-off,
yeah,
right? You don't ever have that many pregnant women. You have like one or two here or there.
Mm-hmm.
When I was pregnant practicing, I remember one gentleman that owned a studio was like, I'm gonna put you in the back. You're gonna have a sign.
Like a sign.
And it's gonna say pregnant, baby on board, something like that. And I was like, don't you ever, right? I was like lashing out, and he was like, whoa, pregnant woman. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna walk to the water fountain. I'm gonna come back, and then we're gonna talk. Because I was like, excuse me, you just punished me. Like, this is a gift.
Right.
Don't punish,
yeah,
me with your words,
uh-huh,
you know, like that. And he was like, I don't think I'm gonna use the sign ever again.
Right.
I'm like, throw it away. Burn that shit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's insulting.
Yeah, most definitely.
That, you know, he said, oh, I was just more worried that people were going to follow your lead. I'm like, why? People aren't going to follow a pregnant person's lead. They know.
Right.
She's modifying.
Right. Yeah. Gosh, I know that's
so. It's so delicate because you want to support the person, but you also want to say, like, listen to your body.
Right.
And if your body's saying, keep continue, and your doctor's saying that, like, what don't continue? The movement,
right?
The 3 or 4 specific directions.
Mm-hmm.
If I stopped practicing, I probably would have gotten a headache multiple days,
right?
Because my body was so used to sweating.
Mm-hmm. That's the way we detox.
So I didn't stop that because I didn't want headaches,
uh-huh,
in addition to stretched out everything else and the list, you know?
Yep.
So hot, yeah, yoga stayed, and the 3, you have 6 doctors normally in your clinic, and like the one that gets not on golf duty delivers, and the rest are like, you know, you got to see them.
Uh-huh.
And in the 6 that were in the clinic, 2 weren't on board. And they're like, I don't support you. I don't respect that choice of yours. And I'm like, well, I respect your decision,
right,
but hear me out. This is going to stay in my life,
mm-hmm,
because I love it and I need it. And if you take it out, I'm going to be a crazy person or more crazy person. So yeah. And so they were like, okay. And then the other ones, they were just kind of following along, and they're,
yeah,
like, all right, just keep reporting. My multiples doctor, when I delivered in Virginia, he saw 2 fetuses and up. So lots of triplets.
Okay.
And he's like, every time I come here, you've got a little Life magazine, you got crisscross applesauce sitting, you're not huffing and puffing and whining. Can you go down the hall and spray all that stuff on the other pregnant women's? Because man, they're whining and crying. And I'm like, see you next time.
Right. Well, I think that, you know, that mentality goes a lot to the fact that you're thinking for yourself and listening to your bodies. You know, a lot of times when we get told by a person in authority, you know, in this case, it's a doctor, somebody in a white coat of some sort that says, now you're this, now you have to do this because you're that, right? And so basically that doctor is saying, you're now powerless as a human being because you have this thing growing inside you. If anything, the message should be, guess how powerful you are. There's a being growing inside you. That's how powerful of a human you are. Now, listen to your body and do what your body wants. If we can train ourselves to listen to our bodies and not just listen to the person telling us what we should and should not think, then a lot of that power, I think, would be intrinsic in us, you know? And we would find the role models like yourself to look to in those moments of that strength that we're looking to find, because now we found somebody that's embodying that strength that we're trying to embody, and monkey see, monkey do. Hey, look, there's this beautiful human being right in front of me that's embodying their power. I'm going to embody my power. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
And if, you know, and that's that mentality. Like, don't just take what that person said as gospel, like figure it out for yourself. Is that what
put it
really
on you.
Sits with
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Make it yours.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that to your point with self-empowerment and listening to your body, for some reason, many years, that was always, let's not talk about how we feel.
Right.
It's just not okay, or it's weird, or, you know? And so now the more that us yogis are sharing how we feel, and that's not right for me, I want to say yes, but my body's saying no, the more that we can use our words and our verbiage and our body language, we can be the light for those people that are always so no, always so negative and always so down. And yes, it's a really dark world. So we're just doing it one person at a time, maybe 1 week at a time, maybe one person 1 year at a time, but it's worth it.
It is. You know? It is. And there's, you know, I grew up in the Houston area down in Texas, so not too far from where you guys. And, and you know, I'm not sure about Louisiana, but down in Texas, let's say mid-90s, early 90s area, you know, there wasn't, it wasn't like people were coming out and purposefully bashing intuition, right? But intuition and intuitive thoughts were not something that was embraced as a mentality. But there was a lot of counter with that too, because, okay, so in my area, you know, intuition was thought of as something like very, very feminine, right? Feminine thoughts, like when we have visions or hearing the clairs, if you will, right? That's a very feminine type thing. At least it's thought that way. And so a lot of that is squashed because men don't want to be feminine, right? But at the same time, we're told to trust our guts. Right. Trust your gut, which is one of those intuitive areas of our bodies, our third brain. Right. So we're told to trust our gut, but ignore everything else in our intuition.
Right.
So it's this confusing messages of like, listen to your body, but don't, because it's feminine.
Right.
And we love women, but we don't, because they're feminine and we want to embrace our masculinity. So there's like this just this
so
jumbledness of just information that's been coming in, that finally, when I was able to sit with it, And really start to unpack it of like, man, I've been ignoring my intuition. It's not something I have to build. It's just something I have to pay attention to. Like, it's been talking to me this whole time. Like the twitches in my hands, the spine and the hair of my back of my neck, like all these things are all messages. I've just been, shut up. I don't want to listen to you. I'm going to wait until somebody tells me.
You shush them. Yeah, exactly. Or something drops. Like, I'm waiting from the sky.
Oh, yeah.
Is that for everyone else? Those are great signs. You know, I'm a sign person, and I know a lot of people think it's hokey pokey and all that stuff. But those are intuition signs and like little ringers, you know, for us to, you don't hear that and see that. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's up to us to catch it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's all there for us. So with that, so how long did you spend in competition yoga altogether?
Okay, so let's see, 2008-ish, and then I finished, Reese was born in 2012, James was born in 2018, so probably the last year was 2017, 2016.
Okay.
I competed for Illinois, I think I placed first three times in a, like three consecutive times for Illinois. And then that last time that I placed for Illinois, I went to nationals. Mm. And then that was my last national, which is where, so every region gets a competition.
Okay.
And our Illinois region was seven states. So it was like Kentucky, Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, like all the states got together in Michigan, or I moved to different areas. Mm. Kentucky 1 year. And then the winners of your regional first and second place automatically advance to the national stage. And then the national stage are all the regions first and second place, or if one of them got hurt or injured, they're runner up.
Okay.
And they were invited also. So it was, you know, everyone's top state performers. And that last one, I think I got like 10th or 12th or okay. something like that for the nation or something
yeah.
like that. Yeah. So it was just kind of like continuously little bump up, uh-huh. You know, each time. And, it was fun. And then there's a 50-year-old competition and up. So okay. I was like, maybe I'll quit until I'm 50 and then come back.
There you go.
So we'll see.
Oh yeah. <So we'll> see. Right on. So did you use,
know.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I love that. It's, I have a friend that's doing the 50 and up, CrossFit games. And okay. And she is having the best time with it and loves it so much. And she's been competing, I guess, since she was in her mid 30s. So, you know, she didn't take a break. Okay. But man,
yeah,
she I think it's just the finding your niche and continuing yeah. on with that in whatever capacity. It's not like I want to be, and some people do, that's fine. But the gold medalist or the placing or whatever.
Yeah.
For a lot of us, it's just the activation of doing something, of applying yeah. ourselves to something. And reaching the end of that goal, not necessarily like I'm going to be a gold medalist, but I'm going to actually just finish this. I'm just going to
exactly
see this through to the end.
I just wanted to try it the first time, put the routine together because I'm a creative person. It's satisfying to me. And like mm-hmm. you said, it's the end. It's not the result of a medal or a color or a weight or a number. It's not associated for me for satisfaction as much as it is. I put this together for myself. I saw it through to fruition and shit, I met some awesome people along the way. And a few of them, I know it because I'm an energetic person. I planted a seed for them.
Yeah.
One of them is going to start yoga soon. They never thought their body could do it. Another one of them is getting back to yoga. They signed it off. Right. And so however it works out, those were rings for me, for those three people to get back into it, to start it, or continue it, or whatever it may yeah. be. Or, you know, maybe it was a spouse that never, ever, 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 ever wanted to come into the room because it was the spouse's thing, and then saw the other sex, the female, the male doing it. And they're like, you know what? I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And it's going to make my relationship stronger because we have something to talk about.
There. Yes.
Totally. Or talk about later, or like the difficulty in the sport that we share. And some people can't share sports. I get it. Yeah. But I think if you can share that sport of passion of yoga, even if you're not in the same class together, lined up on the same row together, yeah. there's another bond that you hold tight, you know, and you yeah. can discuss things a little bit when you're ready. You mm-hmm. know, like my husband and I are on different levels of yoga, but he's really vinyasa based right now. And I'm loving watching him flow with breath and advance from blocked heavy to not blocked, finding more balance. Mm. And so now we're able to discuss more yoga stuff, where it was more just like, what did I need to hear that he thought he needed to give to me to support me.
Yeah.
And now it's like, no, we're just talking yoga, you know? Yeah. And so that's been really cool.
I love that.
But yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
Did you, were you doing your online yoga offerings? Did that come after the competition yoga? Was that spurred by that? Or was that just like an...
Okay, so in 2000, when was James born? 18, mm-hmm. I opened up a Bikram yoga hot bar and Pilates studio
okay.
in Evanston near Northwestern University. And it was amazing. And then here comes COVID. And so in 2020, we got information that health and fitness through university, we're not, you know, and so that's where we started with 2020. Yeah. And then by March, we were shut down.
Right.
And we were like, should we open? Should we not open? We weren't open long enough for us to be like, for sure, they'll come back.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
we
yeah.
were only open for like 2 years almost.
Right.
And so that community that I built with a partner, ex-partner, we're not together anymore. Mm-hmm. She went and purchased another brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. And I decided to take those that weren't ready to go to a brick and mortar. So we kind of split it that way. And okay. I took all the virtual people. Mm-hmm. And so I kept virtual until, and still happening now.
Yeah.
And so we meet outdoors, and we meet every now and then, like social gigs and whatnot. But we meet 10 times a week virtually.
Oh, wow.
In
yeah.
classes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That backdrop actually looks like one of your backdrops for your classes. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Right on.
It
Very
is.
Cool.
Yep. 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 My Pilates classes and my yoga sculpt classes. I made up my own class this year, which is really fun. You know how sequencing is creative fun. It gives you this, like baking a cake. You're like, I know that it's going to be a yummy cake, but I just want to see the finish in the oven and take it out and be like, oh, I did it again.
Yeah, right.
Yay. You know, I'm getting better at making a cake or uh-huh. planting a pot or whatever it may be. I don't know. There's always, you know, different things that you like. I used to sew and I'm like, I'm not even going to freaking use this pillowcase, but I just want to finish it.
Yep.
You know, it's like, I just want to finish the project
because uh-huh.
you want to see it through. It's yep. like the satisfaction, you know, of that. I lost my train of thought. I don't even know where I was going with the finishing of the project. It's just the satisfaction, I guess, more of anything I know what it was, your creative sequencing. So when your students non-verbally mm-hmm. express interest, they support you in everything, but they show you non-verbally interest in areas where you're shocked or not shocked. Like, I didn't know as many people that I was teaching wanted to learn a headstand. Mm. It was on their bucket list. I don't know. It's just something about going upside down. And so I was like, okay, well, I freaking love teaching inversions. Why haven't we talked about this before?
Yeah.
I thought that's not one of my favorite things. Let's do hand balancing. I got many. Where do we start? You know? And then classes that I knew that they love abs. They're like, we can work abs every day with
every
you.
Day.
And I was like, why don't we just make a class called Arms, Abs, and Ass?
No.
So that's one of my favorite. So that's my favorite class. Every Thursday, people are like, this is the most fun class.
Hell
like, we
yeah.
don't get super sweaty like Pilates. We can go work after.
Uh-huh.
But man, our arms burn and our ass burns. I'm like, okay, well, cool. Let me make up another one. So I think my next one is going to be butts and guts.
All right. yes. I love that.
So we'll you know, incorporate some kind of butt music and
which there's a plethora
and
of.
We'll, yeah, I mean, there's no shortage there.
<Hell yeah.
laughs> And we'll do some glute work and ab work because that's what they love, you know, and it's like they dictated it without mm-hmm. asking for it,
yeah.
you know, but more and more and more means give them more.
Definitely. And, you know, good for you for yeah. listening to your community. You know, like so many times,
yeah.
like we, you know, I never owned a studio, but I've been managing studios and all that stuff for a while. And there's so many times we get in these think tanks about what we think that people want. Oh, we think
so
that this will be great, this time frame or this style and blah, blah, blah. Have you ever asked the students and like
right.
really dialed into what they're wanting? And like butts and guts classes, like that's not a style of yoga, but you know what? If your community wants it and you're excited enough to teach it, then why the hell not? Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I remember
their core is going to be tight for yoga class, or yeah. I can engage with them in yoga class more about that class. That's another layer of engagement and rapport
yep.
building and relationship building. And to me, that's everything,
exactly.
you know, with
yeah.
building.
The community,
yeah.
and that's where it's at, you know. I mean, we love our movement based practices, but I mean, to be fair, I can go to 24-hour fitness and get a pretty decent yoga class, but am I going to get the community and the conversation afterwards like I would in a yoga studio after we've all just got our asses handed to us and we're just sweating our faces off? Or right. am I just going to shower real quick and then hit the road because I don't have that community?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. There are those studios, right? You can feel like a backpack. You're just there to like get mm-hmm. into your yoga gear, put your backpack on and go, right? Yep. A to B. And then there's ones where you just sweat your faces off together and you just felt like a snake who peeled off a few of their layers. And with those three or four layers were so much weight and disbelief and you peeled it off and right. layers of people that put pattern hats on you. And you're like, I feel vulnerable. You feel vulnerable. But yet at the same time, we feel so good mm-hmm. about just shedding that, you know,
right. yeah.
and that experience together builds each time you see that sweaty person again. So I love that mm-hmm. community building. When you're in the sweaty chairs together next to each other and your makeup's running down the girl's face next to you and you're like, that's life. This is like the real deal right here, you know? Uh-huh. And that's the most genuine shit ever.
Yes, most definitely. You know, one of my favorite things right now is practicing next to a friend, like whatever friend it is, but just practicing next mm-hmm. to somebody that I know. And being at like, let's say 2/3 through the class, like we're in it. We're dying. We need to monitor our fatigue and, you know, take breaks when we need to. And like, I'm just about to take a break. And I'm like, okay, after this flow, I'm going to take a break. And then I look over and my buddy Camo is like still going hard. And I'm like, fuck. All right. Well,
not going down now.
I'm doing it with you, bro. We're going out together. You know, it's like, totally, it's just great to have that non-needed, and it's not even competition. It's just that push. Yeah. It's that gentle push. Like, hey, you got some more mm-hmm. in you. You're good. We got this, mm-hmm. you know, keep on moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's those other times where you're like, oh, you're going down. I'm going down with you. You're like, thank God you're going down. Because damn, I was about to first. Right?
Yep,
yeah.
Yep, we are done, my friend.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost
there's moments of humility there too. Where
there
you're
is.
Like, thinking, like, God, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if this is the right term for it, but you know, I this is a term that pops into my head whenever I think about it. But you know, that idea of just being in the lobby after a class and just, you know, after, you know, if you've given it all, like we just said, you know, it's almost like a and again, this might not be the right term, but it's almost like a trauma bond, right? Like we've just gone through this big, big experience together, right? This big. And it's traumatic to the body because we're working our body, we're expending energy, we're pushing our body to a limit. It might not be like negative trauma per se, but there's like traumatic things happening. But like you give everything you've gotten and you're doing it with the people next to you. And then after you're done, you know, it's just like everything is gone. That vulnerability, like you said, is there. And it just, it allows that openness to just be there and allows that, like that, hey, you want to talk about life for a little bit? Like just, hey, my mom's got cancer. Can I call you? Can I talk to you about that for a little bit? You know, and it's just like, it opens us up to that place where we might not just tap our neighbor on the shoulder and say, hey, how are you today? You know, but now that we're all in this together and I can't say anything, mm-hmm. but maybe just like tilt my head over to you and look, like we share a glance and there's a million words said in that glance, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's exactly it. It is. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe that to people that haven't taken class together or maybe are just going for a calisthenic workout. You know, I just need to go because my doctor says I need to work out 3 times a week or I'm going to go back on my blood pressure. You know, different conversation. But for a true yogi, right, that's like, this is my lifestyle. I've committed to mat practice so many times every day because it makes my mind feel sharper and I'm a better human. Just keeping humanity in the world is a good thing. And I think us yogis are on that mission for bringing humanity back.
Yeah. Well, and with that also, I mean, you're doing a lot of work with tweens right now, which is so, God, thank you for doing that first off, before we even get into
that
why or
my...
what you're doing, but that's such a beautiful, beautiful mission.
That's my goal.
Yeah.
That's my dharma right now. It's shifted. I think in the first 10, 15 years, 12 years of teaching, it was like, okay, words on the page, words came off the page. They're definitely in my brain. Okay, the words are definitely in my brain. Now let me look at humans' bodies. Now that I'm looking at their bodies, now I can even look at their expressions on their face. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a long stage of teaching before you're watching everything, or trying to watch everything, or trying not to control everything, right? It's like, you don't need to say that. Say it next time. You don't need to say it all right now. Let them learn and fail to learn. There's so much in the first 10 years to teach. And then now I'm like, okay, I've so enjoyed my peers, my age, teaching all the way to 7-year-olds. I've enjoyed expressing to athletes, if you've been injured, let me share my knee things with you. If you've hurt your back, I've hurt my back, let me help you, you know. But now, as I'm raising with my husband a set of twins that are going in the 7th grade and another daughter that's going in the 4th grade, and learning all of their friends, mom, dad's impressions that are on the children, not being from this area and adapting to what I would consider way rushed social allowance, things that maybe I would maybe hold off and talk about in 8th grade and not allow my kids to enter certain things at, in 6th and 7th grade. And, you know, so I realized that, there's a fine line of being like the cool mom, the mom that's your friend. And then the mom that's like, just hard love, you know, I know what comes. I've done it. I made that mistake. So I want to be the yogi slash, mentor for girls that are already gaining weight for no reason, already down on their self-image because someone told them you won't be a ballerina. You, you can't be a gymnast. You won't tumble and you will never be a blah, 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 blah. Those things set in your brain heavier than someone complimenting you or receiving an accolade or an accomplishment. They just scar you and weigh you down. And as a yogi, it's my dharma, I would love to continue to serve my community and their children now, or community members, daughters, and even sons, or any gender at this point, not at this point, any gender that can allow themselves a little bit of time to undo whatever and whoever told them you can't, right? And so if someone's never told them, well, maybe your mom just told you that because that's what they told her, that's what they told her, you know, and something like that. Or just simple conversation, mentorship, where we can use asana practice. We can use asana practice to become more secure and stable in our skin and in our body and in our mind. And then to be independent enough to let go and release of the things that are burdening us.
Yeah.
And I think that is huge because someone told them they have to hold it or keep it, or that's the way it's going to be.
Right.
And it's not, it doesn't have to be the way it was. And they can change it. And I want the empowerment to be there for them where they can grab their yoga cushion or grab a spot in the grass under a tree or pull out a, I don't know, something that they may hold that they can, you know, tangibly hold and say mantras with, or, you know, something that they can go to, not as an escape, but as a way to filter that thought. I am not my thought. That thought is a cloud. I'm watching the clouds go by. And there goes my thought. I'm unlatching. I'm releasing, you know, these kind of, it's huge. It's it's small things, but it's huge for a tween or a teen who's never been in this world, you know, in this kind of like environment, instead of like, you can't, that's not you. And it's a lot and it's heavy.
Yeah.
And it's causing a lot of heavy drugs and suicide and depression and lots of medication.
Yeah.
And as we know, once you're medicated, your dose may go up and then your dose goes up. And then as an adult, you're like, oh, I've been taking it since I've been 12.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Yep. And it's like, who told you that you needed it?
Mm-hmm.
Why were you told that? And weren't you re-diagnosed several years later? Like, you know, like it's frustrating.
Yeah.
But instead of just sitting back, I thought, all right, well, let's see if yoga can help, if asana practice can help, or maybe just mentorship, getting together. My girls are in a gymnastics program and their gym has a little small room where I can occupy with a mirror and a ballet bar, you know, certain levels of gymnastics, competitive gymnasts at a time. And in the beginning of the pandemic, I had like 55 gymnasts on at one time and we all did the 26 and 2 sequence together. And they were like, this is boring.
Yeah.
Please bring me something harder. And I was like, let's go, Gauche Lineage. I need you now.
There you go.
You know? So I had to pull out like the full things. And the next day I was like, geez, Orzel, is you're ready for that.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
I did not stretch those hips. But you know, when the 14 and the 16 year old are like, do that again, you're not going to let them down. You're
right.
Like, one more time, one more time, hip flexor.
Yeah, exactly. Work with me here.
Man. But they're impressionable. It's a pivotal time in their lives.
Yeah.
And if there was someone besides mom or dad or aunt, or even someone in their family bloodline that they could connect with.
Yeah.
I want to do this for the next 10 years so that it can build. And so what I'm thinking is in my area, there's no cheer. There's like lots of cheering all over the place, but there's no cheer here.
Okay.
So I was thinking maybe my next brick and mortar will be adult yoga, but a side room for, and bring in the kids to the adult yoga. I don't think there's any reason we need to dumb it down because they're freaking smart and there's no reason to dumb down names of postures. Just give it to them.
Definitely.
And let them have it. But, and certain modifications maybe you wouldn't bring them into, but for the most part, like, let's not dumb down the yoga, you know, but a smaller room where it could be those kids that were like, I want to learn to tumble. I want to learn how to cheer. And I want to learn how to do that because someone told me I can't, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. Something that's got like a trifecta where you can get dropped off and you're like, I'm gonna be here for a few hours.
Yeah. Yeah. We're doing some
pick me up later. And then you walk away and you've got a little empowerment. You got a little sisterhood, a little camaraderie. And you're undoing, you know, you're undoing, you're getting out of the way of people that have been putting weird stuff and labels on you.
Right.
You
yes.
know?
Yes. God. And we need to remove those labels. From the, the young women, young men, young non-binary, you know, we need to remove these stigmas of boys should act this way, girls should act this way.
Yeah.
You know, like this is the standard for, you know, coming up. And no, it's not. Like there's so much now. Like I greatly appreciate the fact, just the sole fact that you're learning and you're teaching these children how to listen to their bodies, how to intuitively listen to your breath. Hey, we can decrease our anxiety by breathing deeper. We can upregulate our energy by breathing more shallow and quicker. We can sit and meditate and get rid of our depression, right? We can do all these things. We are our own healers. Like one of the things that I can't remember who was talking about this. I think it's Zach Bush, but he was talking about how, like, we're not taught how to somatically up and down regulate our bodies, even though we know how to do that now. But at the age of like 7 and 8, we're taught who signed the Declaration of Independence and like all this stuff that we don't really need to know. Like, yes, like science, math, please teach me that shit. But all like the history, like, let's find a place for the knowledge that we want to know and then the knowledge that's going to keep us alive. And the knowledge that keeps us alive and healthy and safe is the body knowledge, the intrinsic empowerment, embodiment knowledge. But we have to seek
Where's
that out.
Where's that class?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I think 32 was when I first started doing yoga. And when I finally realized that when I was getting in, this is when I realized yoga was working for me. I had been practicing for maybe like a month and I'm still very awkward with my practice, still not figuring anything out. But the breath was something I tied that Ujjayi breath was like, okay, I can get behind that. And I remember I was getting yelled at by a guest one time at work, you know, somebody's, you know, food was messed up of some sort. I was the manager and my ex reaction would have been, you know, like I get my energy gets upregulated with the guest energy. Right. And so they're yelling at me. And so I start hyperventilating a little bit.
Yeah.
But at that point, this guest was talking to me about their bad experience and I was able to keep a calm breath. And I was really focusing on that breath. And I'm like, holy shit, this is what they talk about that yoga off the mat shit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, goddamn. And I was able to meet this guest in kind and take care of what they needed. Didn't get upset myself. Was, you know, they came back. They ended up being regular, blah, blah, blah. What? But it's like that, like I was 32 years old before finally I realized that I could control my own anxiety with the breath that I have. you know?
Why couldn't we have known this as 11 and 12 year olds when they're arguing about a girlfriend, boyfriend, breakup, your ugly face, your teeth braces, you know, like all this. It's like, is that important?
Right.
Like, you know that we're growing through a phase, right? And everything's going to shift and I'm going to be beautiful.
Right.
I'm going to be beautiful when this is all over.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, where's that class like home ec or something that would just stay with homeroom all the way through? And that homeroom is, this is wellness class. This right. is meditation, mindful time. We're just going to sit. We're going to all listen to our inhale and our exhale. And we're going to listen to sounds that are in our environment. And you don't even have to call it anything that has a name that would be weird for kids or silly,
right.
you know, and then you just show up and it's there. Like right now there's a few minutes of each, you know, classroom day in one of my daughter's classes where they do that.
Yeah.
And it's amazing,
wow.
but they're still giggling and they think it's silly.
Yeah.
Until they, if they just keep it a part of their life forever,
right.
you know, and then it's not silly. It's now I need it.
Yes.
I need it. It's a part of my life. I can't start my day without it. And
yep.
then you're like hooked, right? Like those are those minutes of nugget time, the golden nugget where mm-hmm. you needed your set the day, set
yep.
the tone.
And when we start that
I like
stuff
what
at
you
a,
said about,
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I like what you said about restaurant and like meeting at the table and shifting your energy. That's definitely a power. You don't, you have to like, you know, harness that power and cultivate it and make it more and more and more, strong, like stronger and stronger, right? Cause it definitely doesn't come your first yoga class
right.
where you can be like, okay, I know that I'm going to be the yin and the yang to this. And if that one's already that high and I go in and I match it and I'm mirroring it and nothing's coming down, you know? And it's like, right, how am I going to be that mediator, balancer, you know, I'm going to bring everybody back to like copacetic and that's
right.
the yogi in us, you know,
mm-hmm.
but not everybody can do that. And
right.
I think that's our strength. And so with that being our craft that we love to hone and become stronger at, that's what our niche is, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and I think mine is just that and energy with girls and, or anybody that I'm working with. I just
yeah.
feel like it can, mirror what I need to mirror and then back up when I need to back up. And then, you know, I'll just have that place for them.
That's a sign of a great
that
teacher,
space.
You know when to add more knowledge, know when to back off the knowledge, know when to put pressure, to release pressure. It's like, that's a good teacher. Like you can just look, read all the books you want to, watch all the podcasts, but not get what you need to get because the teacher isn't there to regulate the knowledge that's coming in.
Yeah.
To look at you and know that you need more time on this one thought. You need some more time, not to just shove another book in your face just because you finished
right.
it.
Right. You're not ready to hear it. Why shove it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And you mentioned
yeah.
something earlier too about the silliness, right? And,
yeah.
you know, a lot of these practices we might feel silly doing them, right? Like bee's mm-hmm. breath, for example. Like if you ever sat
mm-hmm.
down and put your fingers over your nostrils and over your eyes and plugged your ears with your thumbs and then hummed like a maniac for 10 minutes, like it's fucking weird, right? I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
a lot of the weird, a lot of the stuff, the breath
yeah.
techniques, the meditations, like
mm-hmm.
it can seem weird, right?
Yeah.
But it's only weird because it's, you're not used to doing it and
right.
not everybody's doing it. And so the
right.
example that I like to use, so we live up in in Western Washington. So there's not snakes. There's not like a lot of poisonous things out here. We got bears and jaguars and shit. Like there's enough stuff to kill you. There's just not a lot of poisonous things. And so my kid and I, we were camping a couple of months ago and we were walking around, the edge of the river and a little water snake, just like a little 6-inch water snake, just kind of like jets out and crosses in front of her and just slithers off. Again, non-poisonous, but humans are afraid of snakes, right? We're just
yeah.
intrinsically afraid of snakes and spiders, like creepy crawly things.
Yeah.
And so, and I was just maybe about like 5 feet away from her. I didn't see exactly what happened, but I heard her feet scamper and then I could feel the fear just like cripple her. And so I look over and she's like frozen and she's crying. I see the tears and I'm like, okay, what happened? She said, snake. Okay, cool. Let's get you over here away from where the snake was. And so in that, but she's just like crippled with fear. She's like all
yeah.
super tense, like all the joints are engaged. And I'm like, okay, so what I want you to do is release your body and just shake your hands, right? Just shake your hands, shake your head. Let's just like kick your feet, do your things, right? And she looks at me like, you're a fucking maniac. And I'm like, no, okay, so here, let me explain, right? So you have a jaguar that's chasing a zebra, right? And that jaguar is chasing that zebra, and it's getting close, it's getting close. And all of a sudden, that zebra gets away, right? The zebra jets off, and it gets away. As soon as that zebra has a moment to be by itself, it shakes violently because it has all this anxious energy that it has inside of it that it needs to disperse. And then as soon as it's done, it just trots right off because it's fine. It's done its job.
It's so weird that you brought that up. I saw that on something recently. I had no idea that it did that.
Yeah.
But that trauma set in that body, that animal.
Exactly. And that's the way to get rid of it, you know? And so I was like, I tell my kids, shake it out, shake it out. And she's like looking around, make sure nobody would notice. And I'm like, okay, I'll turn around, right? So don't, you know, don't, if you feel weird around me. But that's the thing. It's like some of these practices might make us feel what we would consider like an idiot or foolish or something like that. But you know what?
Until you do it regularly.
Exactly. Yeah. And if that foolishness allows you to release the negativity that's going to be in your body, I would rather be foolish than negative. I would rather look like what other people would think would be an idiot.
Than being heavily medicated and not know that that simple technique would work.
And that, you know, when I think about stuff like that, it makes me think about, like, you know, I've had friends and adults, and, you know, like, I've, you know, like, I'd say as a kid, there was this woman, Deborah, that we used to know. And one time I walked in, she was a friend of ours mom's. I walked into the house thinking the friend was there, and friend wasn't there. Deborah, the mom, was just in the living room, just dancing around all whimsically with her headbands and her nobody incense and all this shit, just whimsically dancing around. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened to here? But you know what? That woman was ecstatic dancing and getting some of her shit out. And my teenage brain had no idea what was going on, but that 40-year-old woman was getting her shit right. She needed to get that energy out and move her body. And that's exactly what she was doing. Unabashed. Don't care. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah. You have to dance it out like nobody's watching and shake it out. Absolutely.
Make that shit happen. And this, you know, so thank you for teaching our kids that, because, you know, the more that we can teach our kids how to move with and live with our bodies and be proud of our bodies and not something that it's not a machine. It's this thing that's part of us. We're beings. We're all intrinsic together. Right. And when we can understand that, then we can be proud of the bodies and the understanding that we have and not ashamed of what other people might think. There was when my kids were young, they're 13 and 18 now. But when they were younger, I went to a feminist class. One of my friends was going to UW and invited me to go to a feminist class. And I'm like, of course, yeah, I got two young daughters. I need to know what's going on in the world and make sure that my mentality is in a good place. And I was so distraught after leaving those classes, the couple classes I went to, just from – and I felt really good about the content being shared and the openness. Yeah. But I was distraught from the fact of, like, I had no idea the level of – pressure that was on these young women in general, but especially these young women that are coming up that don't know any better. Right. And, and the point that the teacher made that really kind of took me was every single photograph that is mass marketed out there, that's in a mass publication, has been edited in some kind of way. Mm-hmm. Right. So even the quote unquote most perfect human beings that we would find perfect, the look, the attitude, all that, they're still airbrushed. They're still, the message that we're not saying that is out there is that nobody will ever be perfect no matter how hard you try.
Yeah.
But keep trying because we have industries revolving around you trying to be the most perfect that you think you should be, even though you'll never get there. What is that doing to the psyche of the world?
What is that? Yeah, what is that message? Is just cynical.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just really, really horrible. And so, like, now, you know, when my kids ask me these questions or when we have conversations, like, I make sure to find a way to talk about them being the perfect thems that they are and not, you know, yes, we can have idols that we look up to. You know, I've had plenty of mentors and idols in my life that I wanted to idolize and be like, but there's also, like, you know, it's an understanding of what you're trying to emulate in that person. Is it a look? Is it a feeling? Is it an action? And, you know, really taking that time to dial into what you're actually seeing in that person that draws you to them, not just trying to be like whoever it
their
is.
Their fame and their, their fine, financial situation. What is it? What's the message that they're promoting?
Yes.
Is that really what you care for? You know, and finding the values at a younger age.
Yeah. So do you, right now you're working mainly with girls, young girls, and you said.
Well, let's see, that's I'm going to make it my next 10 year. Hopefully it'll kick off in like, you know, a short amount of time. It'll ramp. But my goal is to find a brick and mortar. Now that I feel like the area is starting to go back indoors and without masks around here, people are buying memberships again. And it was surprising how long people were still online ordering and having online deliveries and still not going out, you know. But now I feel like it's the time where I feel good about investing my, it's like a restaurant. Your whole family's involved. Once you open a yoga studio, it's like, if someone doesn't show up, that's my ass. I got to teach. I'm sorry. You got to get picked up at school. Somebody's got to get you because I got to open my, you know.
Yep.
So that's my goal, is to find a brick and mortar. And I have been looking, and I was really close to opening when we first started talking. I think I was about to open in Wilmette. And then my intuition told me, you're going to have a bunch of problems if you go with this place. Mm. So do not go with this place. So I stopped. And you would only know that having experience with starting a class on time and the issues of not starting it on time or ending it on time, and then having a time where the next class can come in. And that's where it all focused on. Nowhere to put your stuff. It was just, I knew it. The space itself was lovely.
Yeah.
But those little small things, like just to create even harmony and flow,
right,
they weren't there. And I was like, all right, let me think. How can I get creative? I got to make a wall. I got to make a waiting room. This isn't happening. Like, who am I? I can't have a super cape. Like, you know, so the next place is going to have enough space for me to have a yoga room slash another room. And it's going to be your daughter or son, whoever wants to perform yoga asana with us, mm-hmm. and maybe have that cheer and trampolining and stuff like that. I have that little small room in the gymnastics space in Lake Forest right now, that if I wanted to just make it all gymnasts and yoga, I could, but I think I want to involve more than just yoga and gymnastics. So that's why I'm thinking I don't want to put my name and brand in the gym. I'd rather put my name and brand on a facility and know that the parents can come. And then also you can also have it for your daughter, son, and know that it's an opportunity for them to heal, yeah. you know, a place for them to heal. And yeah, I don't know that you have to call it a certain, like, yoga,
right, yeah.
or cheer, but something that's going to be a trifecta. Yeah, that's what I'm kind of wrapping my head around now. That's my focus. Mm. I went to a class yesterday and got to sweat with 30 other people, which I thought wasn't happening. And this place brought back some awesome memories for me. It was a place that I used to teach, and I got that yoga bug again. Like, I gotta get this hot yoga room open. I gotta get these bodies back in. I gotta get them on the line.
Hell yeah. And it's good to have that inspiration again, you know, just that remembrance of like, this is the reason why, you know, this
that
is
validation.
This exactly. It.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Well, God,
yeah.
You know,
good.
Whatever you end up choosing to call it, you know, it's going to be amazing. The mentality that you're going into it with, the attention to the embodiment of not only children, but adults, and just like getting people used to being people. Like you, like we started off, like just removing all this baggage from us, these band-aids that we've been putting on our lives for however many years, and realizing that the true light and the true love is like, it's right here. We were born with that perfect amount.
Always had it.
That's so great. That's beautiful. Well,
awesome. Well, thank you. It's been so fun. I feel like we should hug.
I know, right? Virtual hug, girl. Yeah. Well, I'm so thankful for you to take some time and chat with me about your journey. And I'm so happy to hear about what you're working towards and what you're currently working on.
If
there's
too.
Ever anything that I can do to help you in your journey, whether it's coming back on or, you know, obviously if I'm ever in the Chicago area, I'm going to definitely look you up.
Yeah.
But
come visit. We'll take class together.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Yeah.
Right when I'm about to quit, I'll look over and you're doing a handstand. I'm like, shit. All right. I'm still going. Well, Jamie, thank you again. I appreciate everything.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. Take care. Have a good rest of your day, Adam.
You too, love. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining Jamie and I. Please check out the show notes for any links, ways to get in contact with either of us. And please like, subscribe, and share the show. Obeisance and love. We'll see y'all next time.